Chapter 31. Wearing her sundress, sandals, and a bright blue kerchief around her hair, Reggie unlocked the door to her villa, stepped through, and nearly bumped into him. She looked up at the man and confirmed for herself that he looked even more intimidating in person than he had in the old photos. He was dressed in black slacks and a white short-sleeved shirt that he wore tucked in and that showed off his trim waist. Though in his 60s he had retained a great deal of the muscle of his youth, his shoulders were broad, his arms sinewy, and his thighs hard under the black fabric. And yet, what drew her attention were the eyes. She'd beheld the gaze of many mass killers, but the power in Fader Kutchin's eyes was something at a different level. They seemed capable of snatching every secret she'd ever kept right out of her soul. Compared to him, the old Nazis were scared children. He put out a hand. "I appear to be your neighbor," he said. "Evan Waller." His Ukrainian accent was gone now, buried under decades of a homespun Canadian cadence. She shook his hands, his long fingers enveloping hers. "Jane Collins." He stood uncomfortably close. He was 4 inches shorter than Shaw, but still towered over her. "I understand you had a little misunderstanding with one of my men last night. The fault is entirely mine. Rest assured it will not happen again. I would like to make it up to you. Perhaps dinner tonight? At my villa or in the charming little village up the cliff?" His big body seemed to press in on her while she thought this through. She gazed for a moment over his shoulder and saw two of his men staring at them. One had a little smile glazed onto his mouth. He was probably the one who had seen her naked by the pool, she thought. Male lust was as easy to read as alphabet blocks. And then there was the smaller man from the night before. For some reason, she was more leery of him than the bigger man. "Well, that's very nice of you, but—" He smiled disarmingly, and he interrupted her. "No, no, before you reject me, think about it. I didn't even allow you to lock your door before pouncing. My apologies. I will await your answer later." He eyed her straw basket. "You are going to do some shopping, I see." She nodded. "They have a wonderful market twice a week in the center of town. Everything from clothes to vegetables." "Well, I must investigate this market for myself. Would you mind if I walked with you? It's a lovely morning, and I would like to stretch my legs." "Did you just get in?" He slipped an arm through hers, and she was forced to walk next to him. His action was gentle, seemed natural, and yet Reggie found no viable option of resistance without ripping her limb free. "A long flight, yes. I live in Canada, my homeland. Before that, I was in Hong Kong. Another even longer flight. Have you ever been there?" Reggie shook her head. "A city more full of energy than any other." He smiled and added, "And a place where one can get anything one wants. But you are American, correct? You're used to getting what you want." "Why do you think I'm American?" she said, feigning suspicion. "Merely a reasoned deduction based on your accent and appearance factors. Am I not correct?" "No, I am American." "Then we are neighbors in that way, too. Our two countries. I see Providence at work here.